Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
From Cushendall in Antrim or Mount Sinai in Waterford, Ballygalgan in Down or Loughrea in Galway. So what a day we have in store. Waterford, they haven't won the All-Ireland since 1959. Galway haven't been champion since 1988. The Irish people, including myself and Dai here, we would not know the name of that little Italian striker from Italia 90, Toto Scilacci, for another 2 years. How well would Toto play if he was out here today? The atmosphere is electric, Nathan.
This is called Mannion turning. And listen to the roar. Four chances, four opportunities, four striking in the schlitter. Straight between the posts. The first time the Waterford get inside the Galway half of the field. It's Kevin Moran, the captain, having a shot. Brilliant goal. What a response. Kevin Moran already contributing a goal and a point. Ball is dropping in. Shane Bennett underneath it. There's a touch. There's a goal. Shouldn't really have been allowed from a Galway perspective.
My big fear for Galway isn't their hurling ability. My big fear is when there's a crunch time in this game, when Waterford get an outrageous score to put them maybe two ahead with 12 or 13 minutes to go, is there a weakness inherent in Galway that one or two, which will be enough, drop the head and say, oh no.
Towards the 70th minute. The roar on his 16 says it all. 26 points, Galway. 2-16 Waterford. Back to 4 points again.
Mother of God, did anyone say it would be easy? Galway lead by 3 points. The 73-39 played on the clock. It's a line ball. Who's it the line ball for? We await the decision of the linesman. It's a Galway line ball. Fair play to you, Paul O'Dwyer. A line ball for Galway. Joel Kelly with the line ball. Back outside his own 45-meter line. It's all over. Galway have won the All-Ireland Championship. Mick Kelly back in 1923. Joel Connolly in 1980. Connor Hayes, the man to my left, in 87 and 88 with the captains. But David Burke is going to captain Galway to the fifth All-Ireland crown. 29 years of agony.
Ball.
In association with Air. Watch 42 live Premier League games this season on the Air Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
Yep, it is Off the Ball on this Monday night, and it's Adrian with you all the way to 10 o'clock. We're going to get stuck into some of our hurling reaction now from yesterday's big game at Croke Park. Of course, all GAA on News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, proud electricity partner to the GAA. You can follow all the under-21 hurling championship action at hashtag hurling to the core. Now, the Galway team last night stayed in the City West Hotel. Big celebrations out there last night. We understand they are. The minor team, at least, has arrived at Pearse Stadium in Galway. I'm sure the senior team will not be far behind them. But before they left Dublin today, our own Oisín Langan caught up with Galway's Joe Canning. He started asking Joe what it feels like to finally have that All-Ireland winner's medal in his back pocket.
Relief, I suppose, in a way, is the biggest thing that probably we've been saying the last since last night and yesterday evening. It's weird kind of to put it into words. I don't think it's sunk in yet, really. You know, we were it was every game this year that we took it with its own merit and respected every opposition. So as kind of we were all like saying after, if there was ever a county that we didn't really want to play in All-Ireland, it was kind of Waterford, because they were in the same situation as we were for the last number of years. So you don't get much joy, I suppose, in their defeat either. And it's tough on the lads. We've been there before, done two occasions obviously with this group, well a few of the lads from 12 anyway, but yeah, it's just relief to finally end the kind of 29 year wait, and it's great for the kids especially, because they've got a new generation to look up to, and hopefully the lads in the 80s and stuff like that can go a bit quiet now and for a while anyway, you know.
Joe Connolly raised the point, and I think he's always been a big supporter of this team and you and Micheál and what's going on. He said that he felt Galway were kind of taunted over the years for not winning one. It wasn't just a criticism, it was a taunting. Did you feel that? Was that a bit of a drive? Was that a factor? Do you think that now that you can kind of get that negative emotion out of the way, maybe you can go on and do more? Okay, we'll concentrate on this one first, but that, do you think you can see what he's saying there, that the taunting?
Yeah, I suppose, but like when you really delve into it and analyse it, like this is only our fifth ever All-Ireland in the history, so it's not that we have a great tradition years gone by of winning All-Irelands, and we went on such a drought then for so long. Like we've only four All-Irelands before yesterday, so people are funny to kind of criticise, and maybe it was kind of a West of Ireland thing more so than Antrim, but and maybe because we had a little bit of success at minor and under 21 the last few years, but that doesn't guarantee success at senior level. You've seen down through the years it's harder to do, and you know, for years there we were coming up against the best team of all time in Kilkenny and Tipperary as well for the last number of years, and we're very lucky and we're very privileged place to be this year that we just got over the line, because like even in the semi-final and stuff like that against Tip, it was just a lucky Johnny turned back, like, and we got the winning score. And you know, you need them little bits and pieces. We didn't have too many injuries this year. Unfortunately, we lost Paul Killeen all right early on, and he was a huge loss to us. But Johnny came in and filled his number fairly well, and to get back Johnny Glynn in was a huge plus. And it was really, I said it to the boys after the league final and after the Leinster final, and after the semi-final, that the guys from 16 to 34, they were the guys that would actually determine whether we win or lose the All-Ireland this year or win our next match, because they set the standards of training. They're the guys that's pushing the guys from 1 to 15 to become better, and I felt down maybe through the years we didn't maybe have that lads were maybe happy enough just to be on the panel and stuff like that. So it's especially great for dim guys, because they don't obviously get the recognition that the guys from 1 to 15 get, and they're the real lads that basically pushed us on and made us perform to a kind of consistent level throughout the year, you know.
How did Micheál facilitate that? Because there was a notable difference, and look, Anthony did good things, John McIntyre did good things, you know, all managers did something positive, they just fell short.
Yeah, for sure.
What was the difference with Micheál?
Don't know really, like he probably empowered us a little bit more on the field, you know, and in training I suppose our standards were a little bit higher, and he expected more off us as players on the field to try and read situations, where maybe before in years gone by we were looking to the sideline for a bit more guidance, and that was maybe through habit and stuff like that.
There was a noticeable difference yesterday that when Waterford put pressure on you responded, while in 2015 and maybe the replay in 2012 you didn't know how to respond. Yesterday you did.
Yeah, well you learned them things, you know. There was, like, don't get me wrong, we did a lot of good things over the past number of years before Micheál even came along, and there was obviously brilliant hurlers in Galway before this, and it's a pity that I suppose they, with a bit of luck, they might have got the breakthrough as well. And like, it's for everybody over the past 29 years, like, that have hurled for Galway and have managed and been in the backroom team for Galway. Like, yesterday was a representation of all the effort that everybody puts in. It's not just about the guys that is on the panel and lucky enough to be on the panel now, because you look at even guys like Andy Smith and Davy Collins and a few of the lads, Tan as well from last year, and like they're gone this year, and you do feel very sorry for them guys that, you know, it wasn't last year and not this year, you know, because they battled so hard for so many years, and that's the kind of, if you want to take a little bit of disappointment out of actually winning in a way, it's a funny thing to say, but that's what you kind of you feel sorry for them guys. But you know, the guys we have are still relatively young. You know, myself and a few of the boys will be the oldest on it. So we're just delighted to finally get over the line. And as I said, if any other team in Ireland, you'd rather play than Waterford, you know, because they've been through it so tough over the years as well. So, you know, we wish them best, and we didn't take any, you know, great feeling in beating them yesterday, but there'll be other days as well, you know.
Tony Brown did an interview recently, and he said it a few times that he kind of feels haunted by not winning an All-Ireland medal. He kind of feels it kind of maybe drags him down on occasion. Do you think in some ways, and in a sporting context, that your life kind of can start from today onwards because you have that medal, that weight is lifted?
I personally, from my own headspace, no, but for other people's headspace, maybe.
Those around you can.
Yeah, not family or friends, right? But people in the media, people that don't know me, I suppose they can't use that stick to beat me with anymore, you know. Because for, like, I've heard through the media down through the years, that I didn't have an All-Ireland medal and stuff like that, and it bothered me for a while, alright, but then I realised that, you know, they're only looking for clickbait and stuff like that, and they don't actually have a clue about hurling, because not many of them guys that was actually saying they actually played at a high level or actually even played at a club level or anything like that. So when you bring it into context like that, it didn't really bother me, you know. But if it makes people feel happier now and less stuff to talk about, that's fine by me. If it just took winning yesterday, you know.
Yeah, sure, they'll find something else, maybe. But was it tough for your family more so than you? Because you seem to be quite resilient. But your family hears all this stuff, and it's tough on them.
Yeah, exactly. It is tough on the family more so than me. You know, stuff that's said about me, I'm probably the last person to actually hear it.
Yeah.
It's tough on mum and dad, the brothers, because they'd be around and talking to people and hearing stuff, and probably people might know them when they're around them, do you know what I mean? So they could be in the next conversation next to them and they might hear something talked about me, and that affects them too, because that's people in Ireland are like that, you know. It's the one difference, I suppose, and you often see after American sports players coming on and saying, yeah, it was great and stuff like that, but the psyche in Ireland is, no, we're not good, and we like to put each other down fairly quickly. So that's just the society we live in, and you learn to live with that. Like, I've spoken about it before, like, mum and dad's, I suppose, sickness over the past number of years has really brought light to me, I suppose, in a way, and how people don't really affect me anymore and what they say. But you'll always get the people that want to put you down no matter what, and you just take that with a pinch of salt as well, because you can't be everybody's best friend. The person that's everybody's best friend is a bit of a fraud, in my opinion, you know.
And what's it like here today? Because, like, you've been through times where, I know to say the fans turned on you is a bit too broad a statement, but you've been through tough times, whereas today, a lot of backslapping, and you told me after the league final, it's not too far from a kick in the arse.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, you take it with a pinch of salt. To be straight up about it, the people I met last night, I never saw half of them in my life before. Yeah. So the real people that matter to me the most is my family and my friends and people that I know, and the group that is in Galway Hurling, you know. They're the people that matter to me most, because, as I said to you before, it is only 6 inches from a clap in the back and a kick up the arse. So there will be tough days down the line again. And it all depends on how we react, but hopefully it makes it a little bit easier by winning yesterday.
I heard a story during the week that when Johnny Glynn was picked, Niall Burke went up to him, shook his hand and said, okay, congratulations, do your best for the time you're on, and I'll come in and finish off the game. That seems to sum up the atmosphere nicely and the attitude nicely.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's brilliant from Burkey, and then you saw when he came on yesterday, he made a huge contribution, you know, and even J.O. Flynn, and them two guys were on and off all year, really, and that's difficult too.
They might have sulked before, but they didn't this year.
Yeah, well, not say sulk, but it knocks a lad's confidence no matter what. No, they never sulked, but confidence inside is always hard to take, and there's pressure on you then to perform when you come on. So I'm delighted for them two boys especially to come on and actually put in a performance yesterday, and, you know, they get a lot of stick off people in Galway as well, like, because they're on and off the odd time. So it's brilliant that they showed up, a few of them people, anyway, yesterday, you know.
I'm sure that's a sentiment that's echoed across that Galway panel. Joe Canning there talking to, it has to be said, Waterford's Oisín Langan out at the team hotel today. Fair play to Oisín. We really appreciate it. We've had a tweet in here from Noel Cahill. Really, Adrian, you made Oisín, a Waterford man, go interview the Galway players. Cruelty, says Noel, of the highest kind. Look, it was, but Oisín's a good man. A text in here as well. Jesus, lad, seeing Joe win a medal made me more emotional than when Ross and Rachel got together. Good man, Joe. Delighted for you, says Dave in Gort yesterday. And another one I really should get to hear from Caligula Caesar on Twitter. Probably a bit much to ask. Now, do bear in mind that this is the Monday after the biggest day in the All-Ireland hurling calendar. But anyway, Caesar wonders aloud. Probably a bit much to ask, but can we please forget about the GAA for just one night and focus on more miscellaneous sports instead? Please. Probably not. I mean, maybe any other night of the year. Caligula Caesar, you put that to us, we might have some sort of sympathy for you, but not tonight. We're going to continue with our GAA. So Caligula has gone over to Game On or somewhere else. We're going to hear from Aidan Hart and Conor Cooney after these.
Off the ball.
In association with AIR. Watch live and exclusive SSE Airtricity League action this month on AIR Sport.
This is News Talk.
Yep, and it's off the ball and you're welcome back, and it's Adrian with you until 10 tonight, 5-3-1-0-6 if you want to get in touch with us over the next little bit. Now, before the break, we heard from Joe Canning. Earlier on, we were joined on the line by the All-Ireland Hurling Champions for 2017, Conor Cooney and Aidan Hart, who I'm sure are deep in celebrations in Pearse Stadium at this very moment in time. And I started by putting it to the two lads. I was joined as well by Shane Stapleton. We started by putting it to the lads how it feels to have the title of All-Ireland Champs before their names. Congratulations! I'm sure it was a long enough night for you. Busy night last night.
Yeah, not too bad. Look, for it was just great to meet a lot of your friends from home there, and people you've kind of grew up with, and people that were involved with your club and all that. So, yeah, good night. But we were up early this morning then to make the trip into Crumlin Children's Hospital. So, kept us half low key last night and a bit fresh now this morning.
What time are you up at?
We were up about 9 o'clock.
Oof. I was watching some of the Sunday game last night, and it's a bit manic. What came to mind actually was the story that had been told from a few years ago of Tony Keady and Brendan Linsky looking to slip away to Fisburgh for a couple of quiet points. Was there any of that in mind last night?
No. Look, there was every level happy enough to stay around. I think there was a great crowd around. I mean, I remember there a few years ago it was tough enough going. You were kind of having a similar enough conversation with every lad you met, but this time it was a more positive one. So I realized stuck around and we were happy out. It was a bit all night, and there was a huge crowd there, and it just shows the support that are there. The Galway public are the fantastic supporters. It was just a great night all around. Really enjoyed it.
Talk to us a little bit, Conor, about what the morning of the game was like. Were lads talking? Did it feel like a normal game with the build up to it, or was it just something a bit different about it?
Yeah, I think a lot of lads were actually very relaxed from any lads talking to. They were every lad was very very calm and very collected. So there were no big nerves or anything like that. So No, every lad seemed calm. Every lad seemed to sleep fairly well the night before and everything. So, we felt like we were in a good place. We were quite confident that we had the firepower and the setup to go on and win the game, and that's the way it worked out for us. So, we were happy enough. We were confident. Yeah.
You really started the game like a house on fire and went 4 points to nil up, and then I suppose Waterford got a goal against the head to pull you back. Just yourself, Aidan, what was the game like out there? It seemed really physical.
Yeah, I suppose it's probably to be hard on me now to comment on that. Like, when I was standing up kind of on my own playing the sweeper role, I'm sure a lot of the guys like Johnny Cohen and Connor and David Burke out on the middle third probably found it a lot more taxing now than I did. Like, but as you said, yeah, we went into a real quick fire lead. The boys were very sharp up front, and the hit went straight over. And yeah, we did get caught with that sucker punch, Kevin Moore in goal, probably. Maybe a mistake I made, really got caught underneath a high ball and it broke out to him. But it was tough. You could see there at half time and even after the game, like, lads were drained. And I think that's what a lot of it last night was about. Like, you know, just it was great to meet people and stuff like that. But lads were so tired, and that's just the way the game has gone. Now it's physically taxing, but it's mentally taxing as well. You know, in the build up all week and for the last few weeks, you know, you're just playing it over and over in your mind, like wanting things to go well, and I think more kind of sense of relief really at the final whistle more than anything yesterday.
And I think it was the 43rd minute before Waterford ever led in the game, and then Kevin Moran had a chance to put them two up, but instead you went and got the next 4 points in a row. So what I'm wondering, Connor, is just the last few seconds, like, what are you thinking? And when that final whistle goes, you know, where's your head at?
Yeah, I suppose we were more clinical. I think we'd only 6 points. I think Waterford was something like 11, but when I came down to it, I honestly didn't think we had a one, and I didn't want to let up. And I remember shouting a couple of lads around, we were just encouraging each other, saying to don't let up now and keep it going right to the end. And it was, we got a sideline, and Joe was shouting us to go down to the corner. They were going to lamp it down to the corner and just keep it up there. I think there was about 10 seconds left at that stage, and it was just then I started thinking, I said, geez, we have it. But until you get to that stage when you've come so close so many times, and then it's been grabbed away from you. You really want to make sure, but just when the final whistle goes, you're just ecstatic. I'm running over and giving Wheelo a big hug, and just incredible. It was nothing I'd ever experienced before. So it was fantastic.
And you shot out of the block so quickly as well. Like, it was such a confident start, and 4 points up, and like four, I think, fairly exceptional scores as well. Like, Galway were looking good. I know Derek McGrath after the game said he was like sort of fearful of 2008 proportions all over again here. But I mean, it looked very good. And like we've mentioned, the goals. Were you thinking, Aidan, after the goals went in, that like you'd been so good and so confident, and clearly the better team up to that point, and then suddenly, particularly the second goal goes in, and it was a sloppy goal, that little bits like that maybe start to put a little bit of doubt into the team?
Yeah, a small bit. Yeah, I suppose it was a real sucker punch. Like, it was a soft goal. I suppose just there was a few bodies in around there, and Cullum just took his eye off. And, you know, then things happen. But all we spoke about really all week was the next ball and the next ball, and piece by piece, kind of getting through the game. Like, you know, not trying to predict the outcome and things like that. So even when it did go in, sure, look, we knew the guys we had down there. Just get the ball down there, I suppose, as quick as possible again, and try and win primary possession of the break. And luckily, that's the way it worked out. And, you know, you'd have to really commend the guys that came in as well, like up front, the likes of Jason Flynn and Niall Burke, like, to get on the score sheet. And I'm sure, like, they were massively disappointed on Friday evening when the team was picked, and they weren't on the starting 15, we'll say. But, you know, it just shows the character of them guys to put that disappointment behind them, like, and come on and finish the job when other guys had given so much and probably tanked themselves out, really.
When that second one goes in, are you like the sort of team that are balling each other out of it, or is it, listen, lads, let's just keep this all nice and calm?
No, I suppose you can't really ball each other out of it anyway, because you don't really hear much up there, you know, with
really?
The crowd and things like that. So yeah, look, it wasn't anyone's fault. Like, it was just I made 5 or 6 mistakes in the game. Everybody made mistakes. It's just unfortunate when a goalie makes a mistake that, you know, everybody sees it. Like, so it was only a mistake. You just get on with it and compose yourself again and go at them again. And as you said, like, we were kind of in the driving seat at the time anyway, like, so we were confident enough that, like, look at whatever they throw at us, we get it back again.
Is it different in that regard, like, in terms of the communication aspect of it? Because I would have thought that was sort of key, like the capacity for Micheál or for yourselves to be able to communicate around the pitch, because we know that's the sort of group that you are. Is it, like, was it different yesterday from other days?
Not so much. I suppose it just comes with the experience of being up there on big days and the training. And I suppose we've kind of said there over the last 2 years that if we can get our play so well that we don't have to communicate as much anymore. Like, you know, I know you'll always have a communication of Gene lads on, or maybe running off a guy's shoulder for a hand pass. But, you know, simple things like, I suppose, when I was sweeper there, if a high ball was coming in, that the lads were just running behind, and that was just something we had worked on, like, I suppose, and they weren't waiting for the call. Like, they were just, you were expected to be there. And it just kind of took the communication aspect out of it, I suppose. Everyone knew the plan, and plan A didn't work with plan B, and that we just got on with it.
Was it plan A all the way?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it's hard to say that, I suppose, when you get the sucker punch of the goals. But
yeah,
you know, people say, like, you try and work yourself to deal with any situation, but, you know, sometimes in finals they just take on a life of their own, and you just have to man up and roll up the sleeves and deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, because on that, Conor, like it seemed, particularly after after the first few scores went in, there was a lot of ball falling into the, I suppose, what we'll call the Tadhg Na Bhfirce channel, like very centrally. And like it seemed as if there might have been, it might have been more fruitful ball for, you know, ball that was played maybe out a little bit more out to the wing. Was that something you were conscious of or that you tried to counteract at any point?
Yeah, I suppose we set up, we decided early on that we were going to try and keep it as wide as possible and maybe keep it away from Ty, because he's and has been an exceptional hurler. So if you hit ball near him or give him the chance, he will win it. And I mean, the way they play, they're sort of, the ball will break, even if it's not one first time, it will break, and they'll have numbers there to win. So yeah, we had set up to try and keep it wide, but as Aidan said there, sometimes matches just take on a life of their own, and the Waterford guys are putting on fierce pressure on, maybe on our guys a couple of times clearing balls, and maybe just once or twice the ball led them under pressure and they had to hit it, and it just ended up going down the middle rather than picking a pass out the wings. But because if that happens and you just get on with it, and I think they coughed up a bit of possession as well. They were under immense pressure as well by our guys, and they were clearing the ball and we won it back. So it works both ways. But obviously we had set up, we knew that was the way they were going to set up, we knew they'd play Tadhg in the sweep role. I suppose we started Johnny, and he worked fierce hard, he just maybe wasn't getting, the ball wasn't breaking from as well, and they're great hurlers, so it was very hard to win primary possession. And just the game moved on, I suppose, and the boys came on then, as you were saying, and Niall and Joe took their chance when they came on. They got brace each, they got two each, so they were fantastic, and I think they really made the difference as well. Yeah,
this win has been a long time coming for Galway, because, you know, six All-Ireland finals have come and gone since 88. And, you know, even since winning Leinster in 2012, which you were both a part of, three provincial finals came and went as well. And Micheál, after the game, he said that there were still references to Galway being chokers. Now, you very much put that to bed, but is that something that would have bothered you as a group? And maybe, Aidan, you want to take that one?
I know, there was the disappointment of, I suppose, myself and Conor were involved in the last two, and yeah, there was the disappointment of that, and you know, it might slightly play in your head can we get over the line? But it's not really something we focused on, in the lead up to the game. And it's just funny, you're a sports person, and even yesterday was Sunday and today is Monday, you just get on with it. No matter what games you've lost before, you just try and learn your lessons and pick yourself up and go again. And I think I said to someone yesterday, you read kind of cliches and quotes of, get knocked down seven times, get up eight, and you're kind of wondering over the years, it's just a load of rubbish, or what's the story? But it's just the way it is. You just have to keep going again and learn from your mistakes. And thankfully, we got that monkey, I suppose, off our backs yesterday.
Yeah, and I think we spoke to Conor before, after the Leinster final win over Wexford, about a disappointing final in the past in 2012 for you, Conor. And Aidan, I suppose, in the 2015 final, you came off during the first half. So is it really great to be on the field and perform really well on the biggest day for Galway?
I suppose it is. Look, what happened in the past, be it right or wrong, it's irrelevant now at the moment, and it's great to be on the field and perform, but we've always said, and it's a firm belief, within our squad, that it's 16-34 that won the game for us yesterday, because, unless they're putting the pressure on you in training games and in ball drills, and unless they're trying to progress themselves, try and make the first 15, then the first 15 won't push on as well, at the same time, So, and I think that's really something we've built in Galway now, is it was a 34-man effort, and it's nothing got to do with the 15 guys that were on the field. I know they'll take plaudits and headlines and stuff like that, but number 34, number one in our panel will take just as much pride out of yesterday as anyone else.
So, Conor, here, teams don't win. You can't win in All-Ireland without scoring goals, right? That's the perceived wisdom. What's your... I'd really interested to get your take on that, right? So think... There might have been two goals scored by Galway in the championship this year, and obviously racking up huge scores. But is that something that you lads are planning for or thinking of, or is your approach, if the goal comes, we'll take it, but actually we have such capacity, as you showed yesterday, to score some absolutely incredible scores from distance, that maybe we don't really need to score goals?
I don't know about that. I suppose every day you go out, you kind of goals can turn the match in.
Are you trying to score goals?
We are. But if we're not going to live and die by it. If things aren't working, we're not going to force it. And I suppose it's just the way it transpired. We had I suppose we went out against teams who have played sweeper systems, and I mean, obviously that's going to be difficult to score against. I mean, Tipperary were the only team who set up somewhat orthodox, and I suppose we had a few goal chances, and I suppose we just didn't really take them. And I mean, going out against Waterford, we knew that they'd be few and far between, so we knew we probably would have to take our scores off the field. And it was similar to, I remember playing, when we played Offaly, there were two sweepers actually back in front of us, so I mean, it was next to impossible to get space to get a shot off. But as I said, the boys out there are able to take the score, so if you're able to take them, that's where you're going to get possession. I mean, Hurling's completely different to football or stock, and that you are able to score from 100 yards out, so you're able to negate the sweeper in that way. But yeah, look at it. I mean, it's not like we're setting out and we're saying we're not going for goals. I mean, obviously, if a goal chance presented itself, you go for a whole log. But yeah, it worked out for us this year. We didn't have to score too many, and
yeah,
that's just the way it worked out.
Yeah,
it
seemed to work all right. It might be the piece in the armoury for Galway 2018. You know, the next iteration of this Galway group. Lads, you've been very good at your time. What's the plan tonight, Aidan? I think a civic reception back in Galway City a bit later on tonight.
I think we're pulling out of the City West here at 1:30 and straight to Ballinasloe, and then from Ballinasloe into Pier Stadium at the end of the motorway. So that's the plan tonight.
Are you getting out to walk the cup back across the Shannon?
I don't know about that.
That bypass
might take on a life of their own. Yeah. As I was saying to Conor there, like, you know, it was such great fun here last night, and even today they're meeting people, like, so I can't imagine what it's like at home, and look, we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'd say it's going to be brilliant. Listen, lads, you've been brilliant with your time with the day that's in it. Congratulations again, and enjoy tonight, enjoy the next week or two.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, fellas. Cheers.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
So Galway have managed to shed that 29-year-old monkey, as we've been discussing, off their backs. After the game, Joe Connolly, the Galway legend, told Usheen that he hoped the result to put an end to three decades of criticism.
I felt we were taunted, actually.
Yeah.
I really felt that there was a smugness of a comment about us, especially newspaper level, like that said, you know, for me it grated greatly, and I felt it was insulting. But the only way to counter that was to earn respect. You know, you don't win it, you're earning it. And I thought yesterday's performance was a statement of intent, I think, and I hope to God that's the way we carry forward. And I think the minors as well, you know, the indoctrination of this minor team is, that's only a stepping stone, lads. The real world is senior.
Yeah. And now that you've done one, yeah, you have the confidence and maybe belief to go on and do more. I know it's, you know, no one gives you an All-Ireland, but no harm. It doesn't.
No, we certainly have the ability, but I think this is going to be a savage work ethic from this Galway team, but no more than half a dozen other counties. You know, there's been Phoenix is rising this year, as in Cork and whatever like that. But we are in a good place, Galway, going forward for what's ahead of us.
That is for sure. That is the Galway hurling legend Joe Connolly talking to Usheen Langan following Galway's historic win. We spoke to some of the players a bit earlier on. You can get all of that good stuff over on newstalk.com/offtheball. But we did want to get into the meat and drink of this game to get some analysis. And I'm delighted to say to do that, we're joined on the line by Dahi Regan, who was on duty for us at Croke Park yesterday, and Shane Stapleton and Tommy Dunn are in studio alongside us here. Evening, Tommy.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm very well. I was at the game yesterday, so the form is good. I was kind of sort of initially looking to get a sense from you in terms of the, obviously, Galway winning it yesterday, and reflecting over the season. It feels like it's hard to have any gripes on this in terms of the overall winner.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Look, I saw Galway completely annihilate Tip in the National League final way back in May or whenever it was, and I just really liked the look of them then. Now, they didn't probably play their best performance of the year yesterday, but they were still, I won't say comfortable winners, but it was, to me, they were a very polished outfit yesterday and just had too much for Waterford. Although Waterford battled bravely, as you would expect, and they've been exceptional, really, but Galway just had too much firepower for them.
What do you think, Dahi, in terms of just reflecting on the overall year? Was it would you describe it as a classic year? Obviously, nobody having too many gripes about Galway winning it, but your overall reflections on the season?
I wouldn't say it was a classic year, no. I listened to a lot of lads last night in that Sunday game and that, you know, and talking about kind of the classic year. I wouldn't say that. For me, there wasn't a huge amount of standout games out there. I think the Tip Galway game was, that's one we expected to be. And it was, and to me, they were the two best teams in the country playing the best brand of hurling. So, you know, Cork were a breath of fresh air in that. They played a nice, open, expansive brand of hurling, which was pleasant on the eye and nice to look at. Cork are in the embryonic stages of you know, setting out on their quest to win an All-Ireland title. There's hardship to go through before they'll get to an All-Ireland final. Galway have gone through hardship to win an All-Ireland title over the last number of years. And they got themselves to the level whereby they knew what it was to lose. They knew what it took to win, irrespective of who they were playing. That may come with the Cork team in time, and it'll depend on where Tip, Galway and kind of Kilkenny as the principal challengers will be in you know, in their development over the next period of time. You can have a really good common side for a period of time and win nothing. It's happened to Waterford before. So I wouldn't say it's been a glorious year for hurling or anything like that. I think ultimately Galway deserved to win it. They were the best team. They had the best forward line. As a defensive unit, there were big, strong men who could hurl. They were fast, they were fit, they had a midfield that kind of kept the continuity between backs and forwards, who were able to drop back and who were able to push forward.
Yeah.
But Waterford perspective, I think, in fairness, they've done very well to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. And it was very exciting yesterday, and the closeness of the scores kept you hugely interested. Was it a classic? It wasn't a classic. Not by any manner of means was it a classic. And I'm not being derogatory to Waterford when I say the way Waterford play, it will be infrequent that they'll be involved in classics, to be honest with you. That's just the nature of the way they play. But it was a great year for Galway. That's about what I'd say about the hurling.
Like a bit of a weird year, Tommy, in some ways, that we kind of ended with probably more questions than we started with. Like, there's a lot of teams that have put their hand up. Cork have sort of come from nowhere. Wexford have come on a bit. Kilkenny have probably fallen back a little bit. And suddenly we're not sure if the championship will start again tomorrow. Like, we probably all feel like Galway might end up winning it, but there'll be a lot of uncertainties along the way.
Yeah, but sure, isn't that what makes it? That's what makes it a great championship in ways, that there were so many teams as the year went on that had a chance of winning it. But Galway, I think, have been the most consistent all through. And when you know, the big contests came, such as the semi final against Tip, they put Tip away, and you know, they had too much for Waterford yesterday. But you're right. I mean, going into next year, there's you know, it's back to the start for everyone again, and there's lots of teams out there that'll feel that they can win it. It'll be a big ask for Galway to go and defend it, because given the appetite that was there and the hunger that was there, and you know, there's going to be a hell of a lot of a party, and I'd say for a while over in the West. So I think there's a lot of teams that will look forward to next year with optimism, and Waterford will be one of them as well, Adrian, even though they'll be very disappointed today.
We'll talk maybe a little bit later on. I do want to get your players of the year later on, and just to get a sense as well of what you think going forward for this Galway and the Waterford team as well. But just in terms of the game itself, Tommy, like, Galway obviously opened up quickly and they opened up confidently. And I know Dirk McGrath spoke after the game about sort of his concern at that point about what the direction the game was going to take. Obviously, they got a couple of goals. The second one particularly obviously was sloppy, and maybe papered over in some regards the difference between the teams at that point. But in terms of the shape, had Waterford started to react to what Galway, you know, the dominance that Galway had shown over that first, even the first initial 5 or 6 minutes?
Well, the reaction was that they got themselves in a position to score a goal and they executed. I don't know that they do a hell of a lot of positional changes to adapt, but what happened was, for, like, Galway made a hugely impressive start. 3.5 minutes into an All-Ireland final, 4 shots at a goal and 4 scores from play. The terms of the game had been set. For Waterford, my opinion on it, for Waterford to have a chance, Waterford were the ones that needed to go 4 and 5 points ahead and ask the questions of Galway. Waterford's plan suits that style. So, but I think Galway had prepared perfectly well for him. Now, Waterford caught Galway cold. The Galway backs got sucked out. If you watch what happened, you know, the Waterford system pulled Galway all over the place, which we thought it might, and Brick had the vision to spot Kevin Moran on the shoulder, and that brought Waterford back into the game. But Waterford were in the game all the way through. I mean, You know, I don't think the game was as one-sided as maybe as people think. Like, you know, Waterford had plenty of chances. Yeah. And Doughty is right. Obviously, their style of play makes it difficult. But they still had plenty of chances to be ahead in the last 3 or 4 minutes had they taken them. But Galway, you know, Galway knew exactly what was coming from Waterford. They pushed up on their men. They destroyed them on their long puck outs. And when Tadhg De Burca and the lads had to go along with clearances, Galway invariably picked them off and picked them off then on the counter-attack.
I think there was an interesting matchup at the start. Philip Mahoney went over to Joe Canning. And yeah. I think over the course of the game, Philip Mahoney had a very good game. But Canning started like a house on fire. He got that score after 20 seconds, went into contact with three players and still got the score. He had an assist. He got another score pretty soon. But I just felt at the very start of the game, Philip Mahoney was standing 5 and 10 yards off him. If there was a ball going up between four players, he was going for the ball rather than thinking, you know what, I'll stick with Canning here. And I think that gave Galway that little bit of a push at the start because Canning was able to get into the game. And I think that was very important for them.
And even looking at it, Doughty, I mean, the building at that point almost, Galway had sort of, you know, had great dominance, obviously, over that period of time. And it was paying off. And it was seemed to be a period for the second half of the first half where, like, Tadhg De Burca was operating as he operates just ahead of that sort of full back line. And Galway seemed utterly determined. And now we've spoken to a couple of players today, Conor Cooney and Aidan Hart, who have told us this wasn't the game plan, by the way. But they did seem utterly determined to lob ball after ball in on top of De Burca.
Well, I think it was more a case of Johnny Glynn trying to get it on Johnny Glynn. And I suppose the theory behind that, and I would have agreed with it, was by putting Johnny Glynn in directly full forward and without a shadow of a doubt, they aimed high ball down on him at an early stage. The closer you drop Tadhg De Burca back to him, it allows the guys outfield then to be able to bring the other corner forwards into the game on the basis that Tadhg is sitting so far back in front of him that, you know, there was a reason that Johnny Glynn was picked specifically yesterday. At times, he actually pushed out towards Tadhg De Burca, and that made sense. And we spoke about that the other night, and we mentioned it before the game yesterday. And to me, that's what they did. They tried to occupy Tadhg De Burca. The problem was with that, when Johnny Glynn was getting absolutely no return whatsoever off it, they actually decided to change it. But it was an interesting ploy, and to an extent, it worked early days because Tadhg De Burca was kind of having to keep a close eye on that situation. And when it realised that it wasn't really a threat, it kind of worked more for Waterford. But it was innovative from Micheál Donoghue without actually working. But there's no doubt, Galway, again, when you look at it, you know, Waterford scored 2 goals, a team that played defensively. Galway, with a huge amount of attacking ability up front, again, score no goals, 4 goals in it. It's kind of a real contradictory in that. How can a defensive-minded team get 2 goals, and how can a team with so much ability up front? But Galway did what they've been doing all year. They had superb players in each of the 6 forward positions, and 5 of them played very well yesterday. And the 2 sub-forwards that came on were outstanding. That's an amazing return from a forward line in an All-Ireland final. You got a really big return from the Galway forward line. They were able to mine scores from all areas of the field up front. With Waterford, it was so much more difficult. Ultimately, I think 5 or 6 Waterford players kept them in the game. Now, Tommy's right in that they weren't a million miles off it at the end of the day, but what they really needed was, with the 2 boys in midfield doing really well for long periods, they ran themselves into the ground. The Brick Wash ran himself into the ground. O'Mahony did very well. Coughlin did well. Fife did well. You know, Tadhg De Burca did a lot of good things well. And really, that was it from a Waterford perspective. What they needed with limited return, what they needed was Austin Gleeson having an absolute stormer up the other end of the field. Mm. Because they just couldn't rely on Brick alone. And that was principally it up front. The 2 boys in midfield getting beyond the ball and getting beyond the half-back line. And that was ultimately the attacking potential that Waterford had to rely on. But I'd have a huge sympathy for Austin Gleeson on the basis that when you're playing a very structured role and someone of his ability, centre forward, you try to play heads up hurling, and they did play heads up hurling, and the ball out when they weren't under pressure was either crisscross 30, 40 yards or straight down the lines, Bennett's wing or to Brick. And Brick won an awful lot of hard ball that way. But if you're going to have someone like Austin Gleeson, where do you bring him into the game? You need, if they're going to play him kind of off the centre back, you need to play it through him. And I've made this point before, like Tip did with Noel McGrath a number of years ago when Brick was centre back to Waterford. And I think he took him for 6 points in the first half. So Waterford aren't playing him to get him into the game. It's like whatever you get onto or whatever areas of the field you get onto the ball, you'll pretty much do really astonishing things with the ball. But they're not actually using him as a figurehead there. So it's an aimless type of thing in that go wherever you want to go and pick up ball and pick up loose ball. But unless you're a team with a spare man who's going to direct it all through him, as to me they should have done, because Galway deployed Garoge Mac directly after him. He was made redundant totally, and I think Waterford got that wrong. I really think they got that aspect of it wrong.
On that point, Tommy, right? Because that was one of the most interesting battles in the run into this, how these two were going to go against each other. It never really got going for Austin. He didn't score. Did have a few shots away, but I mean, even from a game point of view, it didn't really sort of kick in for him. And like, you'd have a certain degree of sympathy for Derek McGrath because like Austin does, and I watched him in the semi-final against Cork, and he's the sort of fella who'll take on three or four hero shots, I would call them, and happy enough to miss them, knowing that he's going to get another three or four, which ends up lifting the team. But like, it's a difficult one, like for the points that Dahi has just outlined, for Derek McGrath to try and manage.
It is a very difficult one, absolutely. And the issue, one of the issues I think for Waterford is, well, Austin Gleeson is just 22 years of age, and he was under, like, there was some pressure on him yesterday. Like, he had a tremendous semi-final in the second half. There was a good bit of controversy around that incident with the helmet. All that was going on, and at 22 years of age, going into an All-Ireland final with a lot of expectation and a lot of pressure on you, and you know, coming up against a centre back that's in the form of his life. So, you know, what will happen now with him and how Waterford use him in the future, that is the interesting part. And, you know, it goes without saying that Waterford didn't get the best out of him yesterday, and maybe the system that they have doesn't always get the best out of him, although he's had some rip-roaring performances. But I suppose if you could offer one small criticism, was that they probably didn't look to vary their approach with him yesterday. You know, so Garoge McInerney was detailed to mark him. What would have happened if Austin had to go in full forward, for example? Would McInerney have followed him, or would they have left Dahi Burke?
Would you have put him in?
Well, I might have done something different. Like, listen, there's nothing worse than being a hurler on the ditch the day after and saying, oh, I would have done that, and, you know, we should have done that. That's not the way it works. But
like, if he's not having that impact out the pitch, you think, actually,
you try something else, because you have nothing to lose anyway. You know, but I think what happens from now on with him, and indeed what happens, you know, with Waterford in terms of, will they maintain this or will they look to adjust here and there? And, you know, this man is critical to what happens with Waterford over the next couple of years.
But like, there's a wider issue for Waterford here. I mean, Austin felt that he needed to force a bit of magic yesterday. You know, he caught a puck out after 45 minutes. And when he had options outside him, he went for the shot over the shoulder and got blocked down. So, and I'm not putting it all on him, because I think, like, it's a point that I made last week in the Off the Ball podcast we had, that the reason they play a sweeper is not because they don't trust their backs. It's because they don't have enough sharp shooting forwards. If you even look yesterday, just two starting forwards scored from play. And like, as a general point, if you were to name the top 10 forwards in Ireland, outside of Austin Gleeson, and maybe you could mention Pádraig Mahony, they don't have sharp shooting forwards. Yeah. So then they reckon we need to win the other half of the field and try and eke out enough scores. And then when Austin Gleeson isn't shooting the lights out, this is the problem. So Derek McGrath, it's a fine balance he's trying to strike every day. Whereas with Micheál Donoghue, we've seen something like eight different players scored 2 points or more from play. So he's spoiled for choice by comparison.
But look, just to come in on that, like, but look at how long it's taken for Galway to get to this stage. Mm. You know, most of this team is on the road for 6 or 7 years. If you look at Joe Canning in his early stages, where it was a lot of, you know, if Joe didn't turn up, Galway didn't have a chance. Now the team, sometimes it just takes time and persistence and patience. And whatever, Brian O'Halloran came on, Tommy Ryan came on, you know, didn't do too bad. They were short Conor Gleeson. There's a lot there for them to work on. But, you know, they'll probably have to tweak a few things for certain, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, that idea of, like, if they were to go next weekend, what Waterford might do differently. We probably got a bit of a flavour of that there. Dahi, the one thing about this Galway team, obviously one of the many things, and I know Joe Connolly has spoken about it today as well, about the idea that, you know, they were hammered and they were being called chokers, and there was elements of that when we were down on on Thursday night, obviously, as well. But, like, we wondered about this Galway team if they were to go behind and how they might react to it. And, like, that did happen in the second half. And, like, it was a real sense at that point that momentum was with Waterford and the possibility that they might kick on from there. But, like, maybe unlike Galway teams that have gone previously, they dug in and they turned it around.
Well, that's correct, and it did answer the questions. And the seminal point did arrive, to be honest, which in the second half, when Kevin Moran found himself isolated inside, maybe actually got caught in two minds, because there was open ground in front of him, and it was nearly a case of, do I go on here? And he ultimately went and took the decision to go for a point, which I thought was the correct decision. And just unfortunately for him, he put it wide, despite one that he really should have scored. That would have put Galway two behind at an interesting juncture during the game. But I always got the feeling that the answer was there with them. I mean, a lot of the criticism that's come against Galway over the years has actually come from within the county, and in many cases from former players. And that's understandable to a point. There's no doubt there's been a lot of ability there. And I suppose if you look at the opportunities they had against Kilkenny in 2012 and 2017 or 2015, they blew winning opportunities, or they allowed themselves to blow it. Winning opportunities, and there was all sorts of rumours coming out of it, of a row at halftime with Hart going off, and why was he taken off, and that he lost the plot completely in the dressing room. I mean, that goes back to 1981. The same thing was said about John Connolly was going to be taken off, and the Castle Garrick contingent apparently of Connolly's decided if he was going, they were all going. So all these things have been attributed to Galway before. This isn't new. I mean, what they've done is, and Tommy is so right in his analysis there, it takes time. And what happens is, you've got to learn how to lose before you can win. And with that, the experience of being in positions whereby we've lost games before, like we were saying yesterday, neither of these teams had ever been in an All-Ireland final where they could rely on the experience of pulling an All-Ireland out of the fire. So when the game got to a juncture yesterday, and Waterford conceivably could have put themselves in a position certainly to win the game. There's no doubt about that. If they'd gone 2 ahead with 15 minutes to go, you're in a position to win an All-Ireland final. A lot of it is in your hands. And then, of course, there's so much of it in Galway's hands. And what Galway did was they responded immediately and they responded brilliantly. And they then, and what we found out about Galway and what we suspected about Galway yesterday was there was men there who had basically said no. Enough is enough. I'm not going down this road again. Today is the day. And the next ball that comes into my area, and the likes of Niall Burke and Flynn, when he came on, went them one ball that was difficult to win. And in an outnumbered situation, they've done brilliant things in an All-Ireland final, things that win you All-Ireland finals. And to that end, you know, they answered everybody. They answered themselves. It doesn't matter about everything. They answered themselves, Adrian, yesterday. They answered the questions that were there, or any inner beliefs or lack of belief that they may have had. There was none of them there, and they answered it yesterday. They stood up to it. They took what was thrown at them. They came out the other end of it and deservedly won their All-Ireland.
Yeah, on the other side of it was Waterford. We want to get a little bit of reaction from that Waterford camp. It comes from the Waterford selector, Dan Shanahan, an ever-present on the sideline, of course, during the year, and a visible presence, it has to be said as well, afterwards. He spoke to Oisin in the tunnel.
It's a bit hard to take, to be honest with you, but look, when you're beaten by a better team on the day, and we performed with 90% of our team, we were just beaten on the better day. Like, you know, but they're a fantastic team. They're a mature team. So they are, and it's hard to take, but I have to say to all lads, they gave it everything they had, and when you can do that, and the lads gave it everything, I have absolutely no problem. No one will ever tell me about these lads. They gave us everything. 4 years, and they gave us everything, so they did, and I cannot emphasise that enough. They put their hearts on their sleeves, so they did, and today, and but today was Galway's day.
Did you think that some of the calls made by the ref were poor?
I suppose it's easy to say that in hindsight, but I thought one or two more. Yeah. Noel Connor's there at one stage, and one or two more were definitely.
Was there anything kind of that you picked up on that you thought was happening consistently?
I'd have to watch it again. Yeah. I don't think there was consistency there, but who wants to be a referee? You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you lose game, they're the first fellas you go after. But look, when you're there on the line, all you want is consistency, like, you know. And there was one or two we thought personally we didn't get today.
Dan, there's an average age of 25 in this Waterford team, so it would suggest that, you know, you're disappointed today, but you can come back, you're still in there.
Yeah, but so will Limerick, so will Tip, at all. It's a new year next year. As I imagine saying that already. So again, it's hard to take. But look, that's sport is sport. I was talking to Tony Keady's wife there. Yeah. Do you know, it puts hurling and sport differently. So again, Tony was looking down on the Galway team today, and I watched him on up for the match last night, and his daughter spoke brilliantly, and he could be a proud man of her last night. She was absolutely outstanding on. And as for the family, to sit there last night and look at some of the memories of Tony must have been very tough. But again, he was looking down on Galway today, and I'm delighted Galway won it for them.
Yeah, that was a reaction from the Waterford camp. A disappointed Dan, obviously, and talking about how difficult it's going to be for Waterford to get back to it next year. From a Galway point of view, Tommy, Michael Donoghue is a very understated guy, and it was interesting even watching him on the Sunday game last night. Not at all tempted to sort of get carried in or, you know, carried away with himself after the win. And like, there's a story from during the year, during the Waterford league game, where he takes a bit of a pivot in his approach to the team, where he hears the players communicating on the pitch, doing so very effectively, and decides that he's going to let them take a bit of a lead here. Do we know what extent that lead was? Like, was it in terms of tactics or... Yeah, what was the extent of that?
It's hard to know. All I can say is I remember that game. I think that game was live on the telly that day. I remember watching it, and I have a mental note of it for some reason, because it obviously was a pivotal part of the season for them. Waterford had an understrength team and were giving them a serious trimming in their own backyard, and Galway came back and won it. Now, you know, it was relatively early part of the league, but obviously it meant a lot to Micheál Donoghue and to Galway. And I'm not sure, other than what he said about players taking the lead, but like, you have to remember, they have some seriously influential players that have a huge amount of experience and are well fit to lead. And actually, Daly had a really good piece in the Examiner today where he just talked about how patient they were and how much belief they had in what they were doing when Waterford came with the answers or with the serious questions. Mm. And I think that's a hallmark possibly of what Micheál Donoghue is talking about.
Yeah, and he did say, like, his quote was, "I'll never forget being on the sideline and hearing the vocals between themselves and the encouragement." I suppose that's just the fact that there's he's getting positive reinforcement between his players. But from then on, there's this unquantifiable steel and focus. You know, when you watch Tipperary last year, there was just something about him. You were like, this is a mean machine this year, much as it was with Kilkenny in the past. And from then on, they beat Limerick in their own backyard really well, hammered Tipperary, and just steamrollered their way through Leinster. Tipperary was the big test, and even though Tip could have won the game, Galway were probably 5 or 6 points better. And I think actually that final was a bit of a microcosm of the year. It was a good game, but like a lot of games throughout the season, they were relatively close, but you kind of always knew who was going to win the game. In the last 10 minutes, it didn't have that thrilling changeover of leads 3 or 4 times like we've seen with the Galway Tip game. And I think that was a case of a lot of games this year, but Galway were just a couple of points ahead all the time. Just that kind of, the sum of the parts is more than the collective is more than the sum of the parts.
I think maybe one of the best measurements of what Micheál is talking about is actually their decision making. You can't remember Galway making too many stupid decisions in the course of any of their big games this year. You know, you could probably count them on one hand. Generally, they've been pretty much on the money in terms of what they've been doing and in terms of how they go about doing it. Like, they've wasted very little. You know, they scored 2 goals against Dublin, I think, in the early rounds, and didn't score a goal since. Yeah. And, you know, that says a lot about them.
But like, even on that point, right, when we start to wrap the conversation and talk about where Galway are going to go from here, like, we don't want to get into sort of any great prophecies about Kilkenny levels of domination here over the next few years, but like, in terms of how they might possibly innovate right next year, we were talking to Conor Cooney a bit earlier on, and I was saying to him, you know, are you deliberately not trying to score goals? Like, what's the tactic here? And he's like, well, it's not exactly that, but the fact that they have such talented players out the pitch who they're very confident, like, the shooters at that range are going to be able to pick off their scores. But in terms of an iteration of this Galway team, you do feel as if that might be an element they may need to build into their game next year.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, just because they haven't scored goals doesn't mean they can score goals. I think that's the thing. I mean, like, they certainly have huge firepower. And they'll probably look, like all teams, Adrian, they'll look to strengthen their squad. They'll look to inject a bit of a new blood, maybe off a minor team or a 21 team. Like that Jack Canning off their minor squad looked a fairly
serious. Jesus, some of those minor players yesterday looking at them would fit in straight off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
absolutely. And, you know, they had a cracking under 21 tussle with Limerick a couple of weeks ago. So they'll look to put pressure on the fellas that are in situ at the moment. And, you know, I'd expect to see one or two new faces on that squad next year.
Yeah. Very good, lads. We want to wrap up. I did warn you, I think, before we came in that I was going to ask you about your player of the year at the end. There was unanimity on the TV last night. So, Di, what have you got for us?
Yeah, Garoge McInerney, without a shadow of a doubt. I've had the pleasure of coaching the boy when I was with Oran Mór Mary. Not just an outstanding talent and a brilliant man, a real man, but actually to have worked with the guy. He's so understated. He's such a lovely, lovely young fella. There's no airs or graces of him. He's like his dad.
You described it before the game, Di, yesterday. He had the gimp of the dad as he was going around.
The gimp of the old fella, yeah. I mean, I worked with Jerry. Jerry was a selector with me. Garoge McInerney has been one of the key instruments in turning Galway's season around. He's filled a jersey that's been problematic for a long, long time for Galway. And I'd watched him play at wing back. I'd watched him kind of trying to break onto this team. I knew how good the chap was, and he seamlessly slotted into a pivotal position there. Just a real man, like number six, and just a hard man. And he broke Austin Gleeson yesterday, to be fair about it. Another brilliant young hurler who will see great days again. Great to see the two of them go at it. It was a fantastic tussle. But to me, he's the main guy who's really turned Galway's fortunes defensively this year. A real rock.
As always, Shane Stebbelin has got something a bit different for us.
Yeah, no, I think Dahi's kind of hit the nail on the head with Garoge, but I'd go for Jamie Barron. I thought he was incredible all year. He was sick for 10 days in the lead up to the final and only went back to training last Tuesday.
Not go against him enough. I mean, granted he was sick, but...
Yeah, well, I still thought he was incredible yesterday. And, you know, Davey Burke had a great game in midfield, so did Kevin Moore, and Johnny Cohn did his bit too. But 3-9 from midfield. And even when you talk about the little setbacks that Waterford had yesterday, and you think about Conor Gleeson not being there, so that robbed him of one good option. Shane Bennett had to go off early. But Jamie Barron, like, if you think of the Kilkenny game in extra time, getting that goal, scoring 1-3 that day, if you think of what he did against Cork, scoring 2-1, and it's really late on in games when he tends to make that massive impact. And he tired towards the end because he had been sick, and the last 5 minutes he wasn't on the field. What impact could he have had if he was at 100%? So I just thought he was incredible all year, so I'd give it to him.
Tommy, I don't know if you're going to sort of give us another option here to split the vote entirely, or
you can't. You couldn't dare. I had Garoge in at number one, Jamie Barron in at number two, and you'd have to give a mention for Kevin Moran, who's had a superb season and an absolute warrior. Like, he's so disappointed for Waterford. You'd be delighted for Galway, but... Waterford are so brave. My heart goes out to them, and I hope they do come back and reach the promised land. And I think if they stick with it, they will. But they've had some. Shane made a very valid point. Barron going off and not having him for the last 10 minutes or 8 minutes was a
crucial
big
time
blow.
Of the game when they were right in it, as you said. Definitely. Definitely a couple of points even at that point. Lads, really enjoyed your analysis tonight. Really enjoyed your analysis during the year as well. We'll have plenty more reaction, of no doubt, from the various camps over the course of the coming days. But for the minute, Tommy Dunn, Shane Stapleton and Di Regan, thanks a million, lads.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks, Adrian. Cheers. Alas, and where?
Limerick's grave. Sing, oh, they died for their land to save when the times change. And all the time the visual
Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.